This is America's Workforce, the voice of working families in Northern Ohio. One solid hour of fact-finding features, in-depth interviews, informative news segments, and practical consumer reports. Tune in now and every weekday morning from 8 until 9 as we stand up for you, your family, and our community. Now, here's your host, Ed Flash Barrett.
The Senate okays extending unemployment insurance, cuts at Bank of America, labor's reaction to McCain in Ohio last week and today. Where are all those government contracts going? And how safe is our food? Good morning and welcome to the Monday, June 30th edition of America's Workforce. It's Labor Radio, 830 AM WKTX, 1330 AM WELW. 1 hour worker power right now on this Monday morning. Good morning to you. Partly cloudy, much cooler than what we've been experiencing. When I say cooler, I mean a high of 67. Scattered showers, perhaps a thunderstorm or two tonight. Overnight, low 54. Then it starts warming up again tomorrow. Sunny, warmer, high of 78. Partly sunny on Wednesday, 82. Chance of rain on Thursday. All right. Can you believe it's the last day of June? The first half of 2008 will be over with after today. Boy, time flies by. All right, we have two featured guests, and this being an extra Monday, we have some newcomers to the show. Kevin Barron is our first guest this morning, and we're going to talk about government contracting. On May 19th of last month, a federal judge, Marilyn Patel, ruled in favor of the American Small Business League and ordered the Small Business Administration to provide the league with more than 10,000 pages of data that listed the names of all firms that received federal small business contracts for fiscal years 2005 and 2006. Turns out that a preliminary review of the data and two third-party experts has uncovered hundreds of dramatic and glaring discrepancies in the data, which indicate that Bush administration officials manipulated the data to disguise the true volume of government small business contracts that actually wound up in the hands of Fortune 500 corporations and other large businesses. That's right. The administration has been saying, you know what? We're trying to save you money. We're trying to help small businesses because small businesses are the backbone of America. And we're awarding these contracts to help these small businesses. In fact, there's a law. There's a law that says 23% of contracts have to go to small businesses. Turns out that the Bush administration falsified their compliance with the congressional mandate and included corporate giants like DynaCorp, Battelle Memorial, Hewlett-Packard. Yeah, that's a small business, right? Bechtel, Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, General Electric, Raytheon. I mean, this is a joke. This is an absolute joke. So, we're going to find out what's been going on, how long it's been going on, and why it's been going on. Kevin was named Director of Government Affairs for the American Small Business League, where he coordinates the advocacy and lobbying efforts of the organization. He works with lawmakers as both the on both the state and national level, chambers of commerce, small businesses to help and deliver effective messages regarding small business advocacy. Makes all the sense in the world. I mean, small businesses need a voice. And they're being crushed here by these giant corporations, and wrongly, too. Second guest this morning is Dr. Michael Doyle. Dr. Doyle is with the Center for Food Safety at the University of Georgia. He has written for more than 400 scientific publications and has given more than 600 invited presentations at national and international scientific meetings. In addition, he has received several research awards from academic and national scientific organizations, and is a fellow of the American Academy of Microbiology, the International Association for Food Protection, and the Institute of Food Technologists. He's also a member of the National Academy of Sciences Institute of Medicine. We're going to talk about this tomato scare and food safety in general, these recent problems. And I'll tell you, this is a real doozy of a problem because the cases are continuing to climb. And the government is now checking if tainted tomatoes really are to blame for the record salmonella outbreak, or if the problem is with another ingredient, or a warehouse is contaminating newly harvested tomatoes. The outbreak, with 810 people confirmed ill, including six in Ohio, means whatever is making people sick could very well still be on the market. This warning came from the FDA just on Friday. Right now they're saying you should avoid raw red plum, red Roma, or red round tomatoes unless they were grown in specific states or countries that FDA has cleared of suspicion. You can go to the FDA's website, fda.gov, for an updated list. Safe, what is deemed safe, are grape tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, and tomatoes sold with the vine still attached. It's crazy. Government's scratching their head on this whole thing. So Dr. Michael Doyle will be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Okay, a couple quick stories here. More than a half year after the AFL-CIO urged Congress to provide extended unemployment insurance benefits to jobless workers who exhaust theirs without finding new work, Congress has passed that extension. You knew this was coming. We talked about this last week with Bill Samuel of the AFL-CIO. The U.S. Senate on Friday passed a supplemental funding bill for the war in Iraq that includes an additional 13 weeks of benefits for the estimated 300,000-plus jobless workers a month who don't find a new job before running out of benefits. By the way, this is the bill that also provides new GI Bill education benefits for Iraqi area military veterans, something that John McCain was against. Yeah, he was against GI Bill benefits for education. U.S. House approved the war funding bill last week. President Bush, after months of veto threats, says he will sign the legislation after reaching a deal with congressional negotiators earlier this month. The National Employment Law Project estimates about 4 million workers will be eligible for the extension over the next year. By the end of May, 1.55 million workers had been unemployed for longer than 6 months. This is according to our own government, the U.S. Department of Labor. So that's certainly good news. You know who's going to need it? Workers in the banks. Bank of America says will cut 7,500 jobs after it closes its acquisition of mortgage lender Countrywide Financial. The job cuts amounts to 12.5% of the combined company's mortgage, home equity, and insurance businesses. So there's another takeover really helping the workers out. John McCain planned his second visit in 3 months to the Youngstown area on Friday, a very economically depressed region, very cool to the Republicans' position on trade and jobs. He was expected to, he did hold a town hall meeting with workers at Lordstown, about 20 minutes northwest of Youngstown, followed by fundraisers in Youngstown as well as Cleveland. The Mahoning Valley is a Democratic stronghold that blames its economic woes on the kind of free trade policies that McCain supports. The region lost almost 17,000 jobs in the last 7 years, almost all of them in the manufacturing sector. During McCain's April visit to Youngstown, one labor leader quipped that NAFTA was a four-letter word. Senator McCain's going to Youngstown, Ohio? A skeptical Governor Ted Strickland, who represented the area in Congress, said on Thursday, "I could not imagine Senator McCain could hope to gain political advantage in the Mahoning Valley," said Strickland, who did back Hillary Clinton in the primary and now supports Barack Obama. "I really see nothing in the senator's economic policies that would have an appeal to the folks in these distressed Ohio communities." No Republican has lost Ohio and still won the White House, and only two Democrats have done so in more than a century. Youngstown is the kind of place that McCain believes a Republican has an obligation to go, said McCain's senior policy advisor, Doug Holtz-Eakin. He said Republicans have to talk to all of America. He, as president, would govern for all America. GM announced earlier this month it had approved production of a new small GM car at Lordstown in mid-2010 and production of the Chevy Volt electric vehicle in Detroit. The Volt is an example of how the country can use innovation to create jobs and rid America of its dependence on oil, Holtz-Eakin said. McCain's vision is for a future in which we make things like the Chevy Volt. Now, Mike Sullivan, retiree chairman for the Lordstown GM plants United Auto Workers local, said he hoped McCain wouldn't sway the minds of the union's largely Democratic members. He said McCain doesn't have any of the kind of philosophies that are going to help working people. That's from a retired laborer at Lordstown. 8:11 is the time. You're listening to America's Workforce. We're going to break when we come back. Those government contracts supposed to go to small businesses, but they're not. We have someone from the American Small Business League to tell us the story right after this on America's Workforce. Don't go away.
America's Workforce Radio is brought to you in part by National City Bank's Commercial Lending Group. Contact Scott Spicer at 216-222-9605.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the law firm of Klamako, Lefkowitz, Pekka, Wilcox, and Garofoli, committed to clients and community and protecting the rights of individuals for more than 35 years.
Working. Everybody has to do it to pay the bills, to build a better life for ourselves, to build a better world for the next generation. You need a career. You need a future. You need the men and women who built this city working with you. The brothers and sisters of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 38. We built this city. Now you can be a part of it all. Pick up the phone. Call 216-621-3090 and make it happen now.
Build your future with the Cement Masons, Local 404. Call 216-771-3939. We are the Cement Masons, standing tall and proud.
The future of electrical construction is now. When you think of electrical construction, think e-contractors. Your time is valuable. In today's busy world, time flies faster and faster, and time costs money. When your construction project is underway, you can't afford to lose control of your time. E-contractors guarantee your control over project time in your commercial, industrial, voice, data, video, or residential project. E-contractors are dedicated to delivering efficiency in electrical construction, service, and maintenance. E-contractors value time, and they understand that your time is your money. Count on it. When you think of electrical construction, think e-contractors. Call e-contractors today at 866-866-9030. That's 866-866-9030. E-contractors, the total electrical solutions network.
Sheet Metal Workers Local 33. More than 4,500 hardworking, highly skilled craftspersons building communities across Northeast Ohio and West Virginia.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. The Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here. A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
When it comes to healthcare benefits for you and your family, you want the best. And that's why so many union members and their families have chosen Anthem, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield. As one of Ohio's largest providers offering coverage to unions and union employees, Anthem offers quality coverage and competitive premiums.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Sheet Metal Workers Local 33 maintains a reputation of quality through the more than 4,500 highly skilled craftspersons that help build communities across Northeast Ohio and West Virginia every day. If you need heating, ventilation, and air conditioning service, or architectural, industrial, or sheet metal work, Local 33 can help. Members make up a well-trained, drug-free, OSHA-certified workforce committed to furthering the heating and cooling and sheet metal industry. Local 33, an affiliate of the Sheet Metal Workers International Association, spans across four states and has eight district offices, including Akron, Cleveland, Toledo, Vermilion, and Youngstown, as well as Charleston, Parkersburg, and Wheeling, West Virginia. Members of Sheet Metal Workers Local 33 earn competitive wages, strong benefits, including health care coverage and retirement plans, industry upgrade training, and excellent work conditions. To learn more about Local 33, contact them today at 800-527-3834 or learn more at www.smwlu33.org.
8:16. Good morning. Welcome back to America's Workforce. It's Labor Radio, 8:30 a.m. WKTX, 1330 a.m. WELW on the web, www.awfradio.com. 64 degrees, heading for a high of only 67. Close to our high already. It's early in the morning. Partly cloudy skies and scattered showers, so keep your eye on the sky. Indians lost to the Reds 9-5 yesterday. Tribe now 37-45 on the season. 9.5 games out of first place. First place, Chicago, where they play tonight. Jeremy Sowers on the mound for the good guys. And the Gladiators, Bernie Kosar's team, Arena Football, starts the playoffs tonight. And they play at Orlando. All right. All right, let's go to our live line and welcome our first guest this morning. We have Kevin Barron. Kevin has been named the Director of Government Affairs for the American Small Business League, where he coordinates the advocacy and lobbying efforts of the organization, works with lawmakers in both the state and national level, chambers of commerce, small businesses, to help and deliver effective messages regarding small business advocacy. And the message this morning is, why isn't the government giving more contracts out to small businesses, something they should be doing? First off, Kevin, welcome to America's Workforce.
Hey, good morning, Flash. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. Well, apparently a federal judge just last month ruled in favor of your organization and ordered that the government, specifically the Small Business Administration, provide your organization with all the data to list of the names of all the firms that received federal small business contracts in the last couple of years here. Can you explain what's going on here? I guess this has been going on for quite some time, huh?
Yeah, this has been going on for, actually, unfortunately, for quite a while. Our group's been around since 2002, and what we were looking for was a list of all the firms for 2005 and 2006 that had received federal small business contracts that were being counted towards the federal government's overall procurement goal of 23%. Now, what that means, Flash, is that every year by law, 23% of all federal government contracting dollars must be spent on legitimate small businesses. And so every federal agency has what's referred to as a small business procurement goal, so that a certain percentage of contracts that they of their contract awards must go to a small business. And unfortunately, what we've seen every year is that 23% goal has never been met. And what this data that we recovered from the SBA clearly shows is that some of the largest firms in the world really have been receiving small business contracts and that are being counted as being a small business.
And some pretty big corporations are involved, right?
Oh, huge corporations. A lot of very large defense contractors, as well as other corporations pretty much across just about every industry you can think of. Some of the biggest companies that have been receiving these federal small business contracts. And this is all money that is supposed to be going to small businesses, which, you know, really are the backbone of our economy. And it's unfortunate we see billions of dollars in these small business set-aside contracts going to these large multinational firms.
And from what I'm reading here, the Bush administration, I guess they fudged some of the figures and actually put these large corporations in the category of small business?
Yeah. We've seen with the data that was turned over to us from the SBA as part of this lawsuit, we went to actually two different third-party sources that also have access to the same data coming straight from the federal government. One is called FedMine, the other is Eagle Eye Publishers, and both of these companies are given access to what's referred to as the XML data feed, which is the actual contracting numbers coming straight out of the federal government. So these organizations examine the same data to ensure and provide some oversight on the government. And so when we got the data direct from the SBA, we began to dig through it and look to see if all of the numbers matched up, which obviously they should match up, and unfortunately they don't. And so we saw completely different numbers from the SBA as we did from these other third-party sources, which automatically raises large red flags. In some cases, it seemed that some of these large firms had their numbers reduced, where other legitimate small businesses had their numbers increased to offset differences in order for the government to come up with the same end percentage. And then we've seen cases of outright, I guess you would call it fraud, where large firms portray themselves as being a small business when in fact they no longer meet the standards of what is considered a small business.
Yeah. What is a small business anyway?
Well, right now, according to the Small Business Act, most small businesses, the standard is considered 500 employees or less. Although for certain manufacturing firms, it could be as high as 1,500 employees or less. And so usually the small business size standard is based on industry and is determined either by number of employees or annual revenue. And the annual revenue numbers vary based on industry, but they're usually somewhere between $6.5 million a year or up to, I believe it goes up to about $27 or $28 million a year in annual revenue is considered a small business.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on those guidelines, you know, looking at these firms that are receiving federal small business contracts, I mean, we've seen some firms with as many as 120,000 employees with annual revenue in the billions mm-hmm. being considered a small business.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the list here. Battelle Memorial, Hewlett Packard, Bechtel, Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, General Electric. How could General Electric be considered a small business? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a question that we have also. That, yeah, many of those firms were found on the data lists that we received, and these are firms getting small business set-aside contracts that is contracts and money specifically meant to go to small businesses to help support the small businesses in this country, and it's really, you know, we see billions of dollars going to these firms every year, which is, you know, meant to help support the small business community. And essentially, that is the middle-class economy that money is being taken from.
Yeah. Is any of this illegal?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It is. And in fact, if a company is found being guilty of portraying itself as a small business when, in fact, it isn't, the penalties for such are up to $500,000 in fines, up to 10 years in prison, and permanent debarment from working with the federal government. And in fact, we've turned over evidence on several of these large firms to the Government Accountability Office. And unfortunately, since we've been at this, we haven't seen any of those legal actions taken against these large firms. Although we have been successful in getting over 600 large firms removed out of the Small Business Administration's database. So, you know, we have been successful in at least removing a lot of these large firms that have been getting small business contracts that they no longer are. But there are still many, many more that as you can see from that list that you had mentioned on our website, that are still receiving federal mm-hmm. small business contracts.
Is there, are we talking about an agency here? Is this the whole Small Business Administration? I mean, can you name names who's doing all this?
Well, really, the Small Business Administration is supposed to be the one providing the oversight to ensure that that these small business set-aside contracts are going to small businesses. And unfortunately, you know, we've seen over the last year the SBA's budget has been cut nearly by half, and their staffing has been reduced. We've seen that it seems like that the Bush administration, where they can't really close the SBA, has been trying to just basically make it as ineffective as possible. And it's unfortunate because this is the one administration that is supposed to be looking out for the needs of small businesses.
Right.
And they really aren't, which is part of the reason why we do what we do, is help to provide some of the oversight that's now lacking from the Small Business Administration.
Okay. So, okay, next question here. Who's going to be held accountable on this whole thing?
That's a really good question. we've been trying to, you know, unfortunately we just saw the SBA's head administrator, Steve Preston, has now been promoted to become our housing secretary. And he was the administrator of the SBA for 2 years and took no action in stopping this from happening.
And now he's going to be in charge of housing.
Yes.
With the housing crisis that's going on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's real comforting, you know.
That was our reaction as well. And again, you know, he had no previous experience working with small businesses. And
I'm sure he doesn't have any experience with housing.
No, he doesn't. And so it seems like another, I don't necessarily want to say a typical Bush appointee, but you know, it's somebody that has no previous experience being put into a position where they are supposed to be providing a lot of oversight and help to a lot of people, that it just doesn't seem to come. And we saw the same thing with the SBA. Bush's new appointee for the SBA, who he just named last week, is Sandy Barua. And it seems that Sandy Barua also has no previous experience with small businesses. So when it comes to accountability, you know, it's really hard. We give a lot of information to the GAO, the Government Accountability Office. They are ultimately one of the ones to provide, you know, the oversight on the SBA and on federal contracting agencies, meaning, you know, Department of Defense, Department of Energy. That these are the federal agencies that give out the contract awards. And where the SBA is supposed to be monitoring that, ensure that small businesses are receiving the small business set-aside awards, you know, they really aren't. So, you know, we go to members of Congress. We frequently have meetings with them, discuss these types of issues, work on legislative solutions that will help tighten up some of the current loopholes, and as well as provide needed oversight. You know, Congress can hold hearings and investigations into this, and, you know, really then provide types of legislative solutions to ensure that the oversight is in place, that there is accountability, and, you know, that we can ensure that small businesses really get their fair share. I mean, that's really what we're doing. You know, we're not anti-big business, but when you look at that, large firms can receive up to 77% of a over $400 billion a year pie. You know, we just want to ensure that small businesses get their fair share as well.
And, yeah.
You know, really, that because small businesses, you know, 98% of all Americans work for a firm that has less than 100 employees or less. And, you know, small businesses really are providing most of the new jobs and innovation right now. And, you know, they are really keeping our economy afloat. And yet it's unfortunate to see that the federal government is just really pushing them aside and handing over these contracts to some of these massive firms.
Right, right. And you probably can follow the money trail here. I'm sure these big firms are the ones that had the big donations, political donations.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin, you know what? I got to take a break. Can you stay with us for another break?
Yeah, sure.
I really appreciate it. Kevin Bacon on our live line this morning. He's with the American Small Business League. We're talking about all these government contracts going to big, big, big corporations, and many of them should not be. All right. Also coming up, we're going to talk about food safety with Dr. Michael Doyle. He's with the University of Georgia's Center for Food Safety. All this salmonella, all these tomatoes that are out there, and government is kind of scratching their head on what's going on. They're clueless as far as what's causing all this. He'll explain it all. We'll explain it all right after this on America's Workforce. Don't go away.
Pat O'Brien Chevrolet has hundreds of GM-certified used cars, so if you're hunting for one, your hunt is over. Because this week, Pat O'Brien has GM-certified 08 Malibus on sale just $14,750. That's right, $14,750, but it gets even better. You can get low 4.9 financing for 60 months, saving you even more on payments. But hurry, this great offer ends June 30th at Pat O'Brien Chevrolet, with three convenient locations in Willoughby Hills, Westlake, and Medina.
Confucius once said, I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I experience and I understand. These words, simple yet profound, reveal a basic truth, that words alone are never enough. In order to make an impact, you need something more substantial. You need a visual, a reference point, an experience. This is Ron Trzynski, and at the Original Mattress Factory, we strive to give you something more, to provide an experience. We educate our customers about our products and offer factory tours so that everyone may see firsthand the quality that goes into our products. We help you understand what sets us apart, from our two-sided mattresses and our real working box springs to our friendly and knowledgeable sales associates, ready to answer every question you ever had about mattresses. We dedicate ourselves to being more than ordinary because you deserve something extraordinary. So visit our showroom and experience more than just a mattress store. Experience an original. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Paging Dr. Poulos, Dr. John Poulos, to the Harrison's Laundry Room.
I'm John Poulos, your appliance MD. When you need me in your laundry room or kitchen, I'll get your appliances healthy again without costing an arm and a leg. I've also become known for my appliance wellness program, saving you time and money by putting appliances on healthy preventative maintenance. Like all the best doctors, Appliance MD is EPA certified, fully insured, and a member of the Better Business Bureau. I'll repair most makes and models, and I make house calls. Call 440-585-1214, 585-1214.
Another home run. You can hit a home run with Metro Business and Sharp, the authorized copier company for the Lakers. Metro Business Machines in Mentor offers great sales, service, and supplies. They can handle desktop printing, digital imaging, scanning documents, expanding security, or everyday office copying. Call 440-942-3323. 942-3323.
There's so much zoo to see, so much zoo to do. Not just tigers or grizzlies or a tree kangaroo. There's the pato, the skink, the lesser slow loris, the red-ruffed lemur, who's loved by Dolores. And what ends in a howl and starts with a ribbit? Frogs, hogs, and dogs, this year's brand new exhibit.
TCP presents Frogs, Hogs, and Dogs at Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. See endangered amphibians, a pair of Red River hogs, and singing dogs from New Guinea. Fifth Third Bank supports the summer season at Cleveland Metro Park Zoo.
832. Hey, don't forget that toll-free number for Union Eye Care. 1-800-EYE-CARE. When it comes to your eyes, you want the very best, well-trained professionals, affordability, convenience. You get all three and a whole lot more at Union Eye Care. Union Eye Care. It's my family, your family's total vision center with 8 locations all sprinkled through northeastern Ohio. Been in business for over 40 years, and they accept most major insurance programs. So when it comes to those precious eyes, go for the very best. Don't mess around. Go for Union Eye Care. Reliability, peace of mind, and certainly great service only at Union Eye Care. Check them out on the web, unioneyecare.com, or make that toll-free call today, 1-800-EYE-CARE. Union Eye Care, 1-800-EYE-CARE. 64 degrees, heading for a high of 67. A little chill in the air today. Partly cloudy skies and a chance of scattered showers and thunder showers and warmer temperatures as we approach the week, holiday week, by the way. We have Kevin Barron. I'm sorry, I called you Kevin Bacon. I was thinking of the actor there. I'm sure that's happened before.
Oh, yeah, that happens pretty frequently.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind sharing his paycheck now, would you?
Oh, no, not at all.
All right. Kevin is with the American Small Business League. And you know what? We should have talked about this earlier. Why don't you explain what this organization is all about?
Sure. We're an independent small business advocacy group. Essentially, you know, we're formed. Our president, Lloyd Chapman, was a former small business owner, and he was doing a lot of contracting work with the federal government and began losing contracts, small business set-aside contracts. When he started looking into where those contracts were going, he found out that they were going to a large firm based out of Holland that had 17,000 employees and was based out of 26 different countries, which obviously is not a small business. So as he began digging more and more into this issue, realized that this was happening across many different industries and happening to small businesses across the country, and became very upset and wanted to do something about it, which is how we ended up forming the American Small Business League. And so we maintain our status as an independent advocate, meaning that we're supported by our membership, which consists solely of small businesses, most of whom are working with the federal government, and we have a nationwide membership. And so we really are the voice for small businesses in Washington when it comes to federal contracting issues.
Okay, you have a number, a website here, if people want to get some more information about you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our website is just www.asbl.com. So it's just as in AmericanSmallBusinessLeague.com. And our contact information is on the website, so if you want to give us a call, we're always more than happy to talk to small businesses having these issues or small businesses that want to become get into working with the federal government. You know, we can give some advice and help in that direction also.
Oh, sure. And you hear so much about this, too, but especially when it comes to privatization. I mean, the government's always talking about that, and it could be local governments. You hear that in the city of Cleveland, too. You know, we got to we could contract this work out instead. It's cheaper. It's more effective, blah, blah, blah. And I know there's been a fight with organized labor on that as well. And, you know, in some cases it works, in some cases it doesn't, depending on how they write the contracts. But
exactly.
Bottom line is, if the government is saying that, you know, they're going to award X amount, this percentage, to small businesses, it should go to small businesses.
Exactly. And that's, you know, unfortunately, part of the problem we see is that where an agency like the SBA, it really goes out and actively recruits a lot of small businesses, kind of telling them how great it is to work with the federal government. You know, the federal government is the largest purchaser of goods and services in the world. So they really are always looking for, pretty much across just about every industry, they're looking for people to contract with, businesses to contract with. And then small businesses get in, they spend a lot of time and money going after contract bids, and always seem to fall short. And, you know, where we see somewhere between $60 and $100 billion a year in small business contracts going to these large firms, where if that money can be redirected back to legitimate small businesses, that would definitely help a lot of small businesses out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not that you're whining here. This is illegal.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, let's be honest here. Let me, there's one other point here I want to get into. House Resolution 5819. Yep. What's that all about?
Well, 5819 is a bill to reauthorize the Small Business Innovation Research Program. It's known as the SBIR program. And this program is actually a really great program that helps small businesses. It provides grant money to small businesses to help them start up, to research and develop new ideas, technologies, basically innovation. It really helps, you know, for that small business entrepreneur, maybe somebody who's got a really great idea that's tinkering around in their garage and has started to develop something but doesn't really have the needed capital to really help them get that idea off the ground. That's what this program is designed to do. And what we've seen is that, the program is set to expire at the end of September. So Congress has written out of the House Small Business Committee, they wrote H.R. 5819 to reauthorize this program. Unfortunately, what has happened is they stuck a provision in this bill that is going to change the definition of a small business to allow large and venture capital firms to control up to, well, a single venture capital firm can control up to 49.9% of a small business. So multiple venture capital firms could essentially control an entire small business while still being considered to be a small business in order to get grants through this program. Essentially what it boils down to is that the provision in this bill is basically will end up subsidizing large and venture capital firms' investments by using small business money. And in changing the definition of a small business, what this bill has the potential to do is really open up all federal small business programs to large and venture capital firms.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, make the problem worse.
Exactly. And that's something, you know, that really shot up some red flags for us seeing that. And so, you know, in changing the definition of a small business, you know, that just immediately kind of scares us. And yeah, we see that what this has the potential to do is essentially call a large firm small and allow grant money, contracts, or loans meant to help small businesses, meant to go to small businesses, now go to large firms or venture capital firms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to see federal small business programs essentially become a support for venture capital investment.
Gotcha. All right. Okay, so I would imagine, you know, that legislation, you know, obviously you're lobbying members of Congress to make sure that that does not become law.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. Well, anything that our listeners can do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a couple of things. You know, one is you can always join and become a member of the American Small Business League. And if you, you know, go to our website at ASBL.com, we have more information on that. We're really building a community of small businesses, and the more members we have, the louder our voices. And when we go and meet with members of Congress and sit down to talk with them, you know, we can say specifically, these are what your constituents are saying. These are what the small businesses in your state or your district, you know, have to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
Another is, you know, one that we always advocate for is to contact your representatives directly, too. You can do that as a small business owner, as an individual, write to your members of Congress, tell them how you feel about this legislation, or another way is through your local chambers of commerce work as well. We meet and talk with frequently a lot of chambers of commerce across the country with the local chambers because, you know, they really have the pulse of the local business community, and then a lot of chambers do support our actions. They then, as a chamber, will write to their members of Congress and, you know, urge action on these types of issues as well.
Good.
And so, yeah, so those are all definitely really good ways for any of your listeners to be involved in this.
Good. Again, the website is www.asbl.com.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much. It sounds like you got a lot of work cut out for you.
We definitely do, but it's definitely a job that we enjoy doing.
Okay, well, let's keep in touch, all right?
All right, thanks, Flash.
Anything we can do here, we'll be glad to help you.
All right, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Kevin Barron, Director of the Government Affairs Department for the American Small Business League. That's ASBL.com. The hour. Well, that was good. That was really interesting. Dr. Michael Doyle coming up next. He's with the Center for Food Safety at the University of Georgia to talk about the salmonella outbreak. What's going on with our food? That story right after this. You're listening to America's Workforce. America's Workforce is brought to you by business manager James Neubauer and members of IBEW 1377, encouraging all working men and women to register to vote.
Working. Everybody has to do it to pay the bills, to build a better life for ourselves, to build a better world for the next generation. You need a career. You need a future. You need the men and women who built this city working with you. The brothers and sisters of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 38. To build a career, to have that future. Just listen to organized member Ronald Adams.
In my old job, we had no security. My wife and I worried about just paying the bills. And that was after years with the same company. I decided to join a union. When I received my letter of acceptance from the union, I was elated. My wife cried. Finally, we would have a firm foundation from which to build a future. And it happened.
Live the great American dream. Join the men and women of the IBEW Local 38. We built this city. Now you can be a part of it all. Pick up the phone. Call 216-621-3090 and make it happen now.
The Teamsters Union is not the best because they are the biggest. They are the biggest because they are the best. A message from the Teamsters Union Local 407.
Members of the Cement Masons Local 404 are among the 20,000 Cleveland building trades unions that work in our neighborhood, building schools, churches, and hospitals. You can be assured that they're properly trained through apprenticeship and upgrading programs, including job site safety, where union built makes the difference. Call business manager Russell Rusty Maglianico at 216-771-3929 for more information.
If
If you've been on a cruise ship, you can appreciate the lifestyle. Peaceful and safe, warm and friendly, with daily activities making the time fly by, with people who enjoy serving your needs and preparing delicious meals, all in a charming and beautiful atmosphere. Many people have found this lifestyle at the cruise ship on the hill, Hilltop Village, but they didn't have to leave the neighborhood. See for yourself with a free luncheon tour. Call 216-261-8383. At Hilltop Village, you'll enjoy independent living with caring assistance. Learn more at hilltopvillage.com. Hilltop Village, friends, family, home.
Honey, we really need to do something about our driveway. I couldn't find little Johnny today. He fell in one of the potholes.
I've got it covered. All but contractors are pouring a new concrete driveway on Thursday.
Concrete? How are you going to pay for that, old moneybags?
Come on, after all these years, you know how smart I am. I did some research, and with the price of oil, cement isn't much different than asphalt.
You mean we won't have that tar smell? The black footprints? The little black pebbles all over my house?
And the maintenance. Yep, I came through again.
Alba Contractors. Who are they?
Alba's been installing quality concrete driveways and patios since 1995, and they're real active in our community.
And your father said to use them, right?
Yeah, he says they're the best in town.
Tell your dad I love him.
To learn how Alba Contractors can improve the appearance and add value to your home or business, visit albacontractors.com. Or see their preferred vendor listing at WELW.com.
Get your business or organization noticed pretty darn quick. Signs PDQ can design a custom vehicle wrap or graphic lettering for your car, truck, or van so your company's message is seen by thousands of people every day. Or ask PDQ about their large format digital prints and custom displays so you stand out everywhere you go. See for yourself the quality of their work on WELW's new street vehicle. Call Signs PDQ in Wycliffe at 440-943-2577. Signs PDQ, their business is getting your business noticed.
Making plans for a driving trip? This is another J for the Highway driving trip tip. Preparing your vehicle is just as important as packing your clothes or making your hotel reservations. Car trouble can totally ruin a great trip or vacation. Simply planning ahead can help you prevent common car troubles like overheated engines and flat tires. These problems can cause time delays, costly repairs, wasted fuel, and even dangerous accidents. J Auto Group has prepared a simple checklist so you and your vehicle will be ready for your next journey. Change your oil. Check all fluid levels. Check the tires. Check all light bulbs. Create a spare kit. Prepare an emergency kit and always balance the load. J Auto wants you to be confident that you and your family will always have the best driving experience possible. Learn more at WELW.com. This has been the J for the Highway driving trip tip from J Auto on the Bedford Auto Mile. Closer than you think.
8:47, good morning. Welcome back to America's Workforce. Labor Radio, 8:30 a.m. WKTX, 15:30 a.m. WELW on the web, www.awfradio.com. 64 degrees, high today only about 67. Partly cloudy skies, chance of rain warming up later in the week. Let's go to the live line. Welcome our second guest. We have Dr. Michael Doyle joining us. He is director for the Center for Food Safety out of the University of Georgia. He is also a Regents Professor of Food Microbiology and Director for the Center for Food Safety at the University of Georgia, an active researcher in the area of food safety and security, and works closely with the food industry on issues related to the microbiological safety of our foods. Dr. Doyle, good morning and welcome to America's Workforce.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
Good. Big concern here today. What's going on with our food, especially with all these tomatoes and the warnings of salmonella? In fact, just on Friday, I guess the FDA came out and said they really don't even know if those tomatoes are to blame for the salmonella. What's going on here?
Well, it's a difficult situation to investigate because the way tomatoes are handled, they may come to a repackager from several locations throughout the country as well as other countries. And the repackager will take these tomatoes, whether they're green, they'll put them in one package. If they're small, they'll put them in another package. And then they lose their identity. We don't know where they came from. And so FDA is having a very difficult time following up on this investigation.
Well, why is this happening? What's changed here in America? Because, you know, growing up, none of this happened to me. I don't remember any of this. I don't know. What's the story?
Well, it's a good news, bad news situation. The good news is our Centers for Disease Control and our state health departments are doing a much better job in identifying outbreaks. They have tools today that they didn't have 5 or 10 years ago. And this enables them to identify outbreaks, especially with fresh produce that in the past would have never been detected. The bad news is our FDA hasn't kept up with modern methods in terms of being able to follow up on these outbreaks and identify sources.
So the FDA is what, not staffed properly, you're saying?
Well, the FDA's budget has eroded dramatically over the last 5 to 8 years, and they're trying to now catch up. But that's only part of it. They're short of personnel, and they haven't been able to, I don't think, keep up with the best up-to-date methods that are out there for investigations as well as for inspections.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you explain for us what salmonella is and what it can do to you?
Okay, salmonella is a bacteria that's often carried in the intestinal tract of cattle and a variety of animals. And it doesn't make the animals sick, but it gets shed in their feces, and so the manure can get into water, which sometimes is used for irrigation. It can get into soil, which is used for growing crops. Sometimes it gets into processing water in these tomato repackaging areas that I described. And as a result, it can contaminate the vegetables. And what we're finding today, CDC is finding today, that salmonella is one of the most common causes of bacterial foodborne illness now. Vegetables is being identified as one of the prominent vehicles.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it's even in eggs. How does it get into an egg?
Well, eggs is a little different. It gets into eggs two different ways. One is when the chicken lays the egg, sometimes it deposits its feces on the egg, and the bacteria can get in from the outside and penetrate the shell and contaminate the inside. Or if the egg is cracked, it can get through sometimes. But we have another type of salmonella. It's called Salmonella enteritidis. It's actually laid within the yolk. And because of that, it's important now that we don't eat runny eggs, that we fully cook the eggs.
Mm-hmm. So make sure that they're, in other words, pretty firm when they're done there.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Okay. What happens if you get salmonella?
Well, more often than not, it's a diarrhea that lasts for a few days. It usually takes about 24 to 48 hours to develop after you've eaten the contaminated food. And there's a diarrhea that occurs for up to maybe 3 days. But unfortunately, especially in young children and the elderly and people who are immunocompromised, the symptoms can be more serious and it can ultimately lead to death.
So it can be fatal.
It can be fatal.
Oh, boy. What's your best advice here? I mean, with what's going on in the country right now and the fact that the government is kind of scratching their head on all this?
Well, I think they still have an understanding that tomatoes may be an important vehicle, although they also are finding that the common denominator in this particular outbreak is Mexican-style restaurants that serve salsa and guacamole. And so there may be a few other things that come into play here, but still, tomatoes are high on the list. So I would continue to follow the recommendations of the FDA. And basically, the FDA is saying that we should avoid tomatoes from certain areas of the country as well as certain areas of Mexico. And most retailers and food service operators are doing just that. So I think they're minimizing our risk.
Yeah, I read the list earlier in the show. It said, too, the FDA is saying avoid raw red plum, red Roma, or red round tomatoes unless they were grown in specific states or countries that the FDA has cleared of suspicion. And they have a complete list. If you go to FDA.gov, they'll have the updated list. And I guess the grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes, or those still with the vine attached, those are okay?
Yes, those are considered okay.
Okay. What about other foods here? I mean, look outside of tomatoes, obviously, is a big story right now. But, I mean, you work at the Center for Food Safety at the University of Georgia. Basically, what do you do? Do you analyze this on a daily basis?
Well, we work to develop better methods for detecting and controlling and eliminating these harmful microbes that you find in foods. But there are other types of foods that we need to be especially careful of, and foods of animal origin in particular, that's beef and chicken and and lamb and pork, these can be contaminated by salmonella and other types of harmful bacteria, and so it's important to remember that and to properly wash your hands after handling these types of foods and properly cooking these foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the summer, we often go to the grill with hamburger, for example, and we bring out a plate with juices on it from the meat and cook the hamburgers, and if you put it back on that plate with the same juices, well, then we recontaminate, and the cooking may have killed the salmonella, but the juices on the plate contain the salmonella, so we're still exposed.
Right, right, right. So when you're boiling something in a pan or something, or when it's cooked, it's done. Salmonella is gone, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What if I want my hamburger medium rare or rare? Am I in trouble?
Well, that's discouraged, not just because of salmonella, but there's an organism called E. coli 0157 that's even more serious than salmonella. It causes something called hemolytic uremic syndrome, which is kidney failure that can lead to long-term dialysis or even death. And so it's highly recommended that you don't eat medium rare or rare cooked hamburgers to cook them to 160 degrees, which is well done.
So better not to have it pink in the middle then, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and that's the same goes with steak as well?
No, that's different. Steak in general is safe if it's medium rare. The reason for that is when contamination by these bacteria occur, it's usually on the surface of the meat. And with ground beef, the surface of the meat is ground in.
Mm-hmm.
We have to cook that thoroughly. But with steak, it's usually the surface that's contaminated. And so by cooking the surface to 160 degrees, you can still have a pink center and still eat the steak safely.
Yeah. What about, like, washing the food, like chicken or even steak? Should I take it and rinse it off, or does that do anything?
Well, it's discouraged simply because when you wash the chicken, often you get aerosols and it would spread the salmonella around your kitchen.
My God, you got to be really careful today, don't you?
You got to think about it. That's right.
Wow. So how's the Center for Food Safety doing?
We're doing very well. We're working on lots of projects involved with detecting harmful bacteria and also trying to come up with ways to eliminate or greatly reduce contamination of the foods we eat, mm-hmm. not only through processing but in the home.
Yeah. Are you well staffed? Are you happy with the direction the university has taken you?
The university has been very supportive. Our industry and our government has been very supportive of our center. We have over 15 faculty working on these types of projects, and we have many graduate students and postdoctoral scientists also involved.
Good, good. I'll tell you, we need all the help we can get. Well, Dr. Doyle, thank you so much for your time this Monday morning. Appreciate it. Let's keep in touch.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, you take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Dr. Michael Doyle, he's director for the Center for Food Safety out of the University of Georgia, talking about the food we eat. Boy, good advice there, especially with all the cookouts coming up this weekend here for the July 4th holiday. Got to be so darn careful today. So darn careful. All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the latest from the Ohio AFL-CIO. That's right. It's the first Tuesday of July. And the mobility agenda. We'll explain what that's all about. That's tomorrow's show. Until then, all of you have a wonderful day.
This has been America's Workforce, the voice of working families in Northern Ohio. One solid hour of fact-finding features, in-depth interviews, informative news segments, and practical consumer reports. Tune in every weekday morning from 8 until 9 as we stand up for you, your family, and our community. America's Workforce, hosted by Ed Flash Ferris, is produced by the VNA Media Group. For program information, contact Bud McTaggart at 888-445-TALK. America's Workforce, working hard for working people.